similar to Baskin-Robbins ice cream. The Baskin-Robbins ice cream company is responsible to sell ice cream, and they flavor it a variety of different ways in order to sell it. I think God has done the same thing with the gospel. The core gospel is there, and it's flavored in a variety of different ways so that it can relate to a variety of different people in their situations.
That's Pastor Ted Haggard. He's president of the National Association of Evangelicals. We were talking with him recently here on Issues, Etc., and he was talking about how he thinks the gospel relates to the church. Tonight we're going to be talking about the church growth movement. Haggard's sentiments there on the gospel being flavored a variety of ways are very common among the church growth, the advocates of the church growth movement. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., day one of our Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour in Chicago. We're broadcasting live tonight from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. The church growth movement has been with us for about 30 years now. That's a fair estimate. Now, after 30 years, have the promises that were made originally and sustained by the church growth movement, that the church will grow exponentially, this is what the church ought to expect, that if a church isn't growing, it's dying or dead, have those promises panned out? If the pastor, according to the church growth movement, should run his church a little more like a business and see himself as a CEO, then what's the product? Ted Haggard says, it's like selling Baskin-Robbins ice cream. It's that simple. Flavor it for the tastes of the customers. Now, even though we're broadcasting live from Chicago this Sunday night, September the 10th, we can still respond to your phone calls and your email. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and we have that in-studio email address. We'll get the email right here at St. Paul's in Brookfield during the program for our guest, Aaron Wolf. issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and we're giving away our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Listening to Luther, which is actually an audio CD, to listeners with the best questions and comments tonight on the church growth movement, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Aaron Wolf is a regular guest here on the program. He's associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. Aaron, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. It's good to finally meet you in the flesh.
Okay, the church growth movement doesn't pull up into the parking lot of the church in a truck with a big sign on the side that says church growth movement. The pastor says, they've arrived. It's time for the movement to begin. How would someone listening to us tonight know whether or not the church that they went to this morning is involved in the church growth movement? What would they see or hear? What would be there that would clue them into that the church growth movement has come their way?
In the service itself, you're likely to hear the word seeker or unchurched in reference to it. But you'll find on a Sunday morning or Saturday night music that is tailored to the particular tastes of the audience, something that's designed to disarm people who might otherwise feel an aversion to traditional church. So whether it's worship music or special numbers that are pop songs or Christian pop songs, the music is one place to look. Another place would be drama. If you see some kind of drama or skit in the service, something that's they're using to illustrate a particular point that is going to be drawn out in the message. This is something that comes up out of the church growth movement. And then finally, the way that the sermon or message is given usually has a particular quality to it of relevance. That is an attempt to connect with what the felt needs are of the audience, of the people coming to the service. Outside of the service, the presence of a small group ministry can also be a sign that the church growth movement and the principles of it are part of that particular congregation.
I want to focus on the message there, Aaron. What is actually preached under the rubric of the church growth movement? So what is the sermon going to sound like other than, in general, as you said, The focus is going to be on trying to make whatever is being said as relevant as possible to the people right where they're at. That's kind of the Ted Haggard point. You know, you flavor the gospel just toward the tastes of those people. But will you actually be hearing much of the gospel itself, the message of Jesus Christ in human flesh, living a perfect life, dying a perfect death for sinners?
Well, that's an interesting point, because what we find so much is that the gospel, what we say when we mean the gospel, tends to be the message or the proclamation that we need to make a decision for Christ. Not the content itself that you mentioned of Christ's incarnation and his work of our redemption. And so the particular sermon that you might hear will be an attempt to hone in on a target audience, that is the people that are most likely to attend this service, and what are things that these folks face in their daily lives that they really feel lost or helpless. And for example, in dealing with children who are disobedient, who are having problems with drugs or sex, or are disobedient to their parents, this is something that many people and many target audiences across the board are going to find to be a significant need in their lives. And so the pastor tries to tap into that. And then he says that, you know, the answer to the burden you feel, which is quite often very legitimate, is Christ. And you can have a relationship with Christ if you will accept him, or if you'll commit your life to him, or some kind of language like that, so that the problem is identified and the solution of making a decision for Christ.
Are they selling the Christian life and this quote unquote personal relationship with Jesus? Are they selling it as just a better form of self-improvement? I mean, we're talking about a lot of the churches that come under the sway of the church growth movement are suburban, fairly well-heeled, middle-class groups of people. And it appears to me that they're selling Jesus as just another accessory for your already pretty good suburban lifestyle.
Yeah, that definitely is the case, especially with some of the more glaring and obvious examples of you see on television, these ostentatious television televangelists before these giant mega churches with the professional bands. And sometimes it's very easy for us to look at them and say, they are just appealing to folks' self-interest, their felt needs, and this is really promoting a kind of megalomania in people. But yet, you know, there are many, many very sincere pastors in those maybe smaller mega churches or the churches that are on the cusp or aspiring to be larger, who are looking at the needs of their people and seeing real problems like the ones I mentioned, parents especially, or financial problems that folks have, tremendous burdens of debt, credit card debt, trying to make ends meet, fears about the war on terror. And because these pastors were trained in seminary with the idea that the church growth movement really is the way that we do evangelism, well, they're just taking their best shot at trying to get these folks to make that decision for Christ by looking at these things. So, you know, you sort of have a spectrum there. It's those who really seem obviously appealing to people's self-interest, and others who really do have a sense of sincerity about them. And yet what they're presenting is not the gospel itself, but a message about what we ought to do in response to a Christ that is not the Christ of Scripture.
I want to come back to that when we come back from this break. Real quickly, 30 seconds, just rattle off some names that our listeners might be familiar with, leaders of the church growth movement.
Especially around here, Bill Hybels in the Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington. Also a huge name is Rick Warren out in Saddleback Church, out in California. One of the first church growth leaders was Robert Schuller, the Crystal Cathedral. Those are some names of Joel Olstein down there in Houston.
All right, when we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation on the church growth movement. Aaron Wolf is our guest. We'll focus in on what he says is the Jesus of the church growth movement, the Jesus of Scripture, and the Jesus of the gospel that saves. We'll also talk about this Wall Street Journal article that came out last week about some of the divisions that have been taking place in churches that have adopted one of the methods of church growth, 40 Days of Purpose from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. We're coming to you live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, day one of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Theology for Mercy. What does it mean to be a Lutheran in social ministry? The church is a mercy place. Theological reflections on confessional Lutheran involvement in neighborhood renewal. These are just some of the free resources offered by LCMS World Relief. You can get your copy of these booklets and more resources by calling LCMS World Relief 1-800-248-1930 and ask for LCMS World Relief. Or just look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. An international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. For free resources, call 1-800-248-1930, 1-800-248-1930, and ask for LCMS World Relief. They'll not only send you free booklets, but also a free video titled Making a World of Difference and Pastor Matt Harrison's Sharing and Caring newsletters. 1-800-248-1930, LCMS World Relief.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. Deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like, a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the Next Issues Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172.
Going to Chicago. Sorry, but I can't take you.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the church growth movement, broadcasting live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. It's day one of our Chicago Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. Aaron Wolf is our guest. Now, anybody listening to us on our Chicago affiliate, AM 1160, you can come out to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. It's 9035 Grant Avenue in Brookfield. The program's going on for another 2 hours with our live audience here and Aaron Wolf. Last week on the program, we were talking with a deaconess intern. She had just returned from Kenya and the Sudan, and she talked about the situation for Christians in both of those African countries, and she outlined how difficult it has been for Christians living at pretty much a subsistence level, tribal violence, the problem of AIDS, all of these plague Christians in the Sudan and in Kenya. LCMS World Relief is in both countries helping. In fact, that's why this deaconess intern was there. She was there for LCMS World Relief. She was helping to develop a number of ministries there, and she was actually helping to work with the disabled in those African countries. To find out more about LCMS World Relief, their efforts in the Sudan, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or you can earmark a donation for the Sudan through LCMS World Relief by calling them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. It's an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. Aaron, you took us into the last break talking about the Jesus of the church growth movement. Now, people listening to us are saying, what's wrong? They find and identify people's felt needs and problems. They offer a relationship with Jesus Christ as the solution to those problems. And they simply invite people to invite him into their lives or make a decision for Jesus. Where's the problem?
Because the most important problem that we face and the one that Christ came to address was the problem of our sin and the problem of being dead in trespasses and sins and the need for redemption, the need to be forgiven. And what happens is that in the church growth mentality, the felt needs are placed at the front as a way of getting folks in the door and getting them committed to the location, to coming and hearing. And at some point, maybe even not in the main service, but through small group ministry, or through a different environment, then those folks are invited to make this decision for Christ. The problem is that the way that the Scripture presents Christ is different from that. You know, quite often, the way of Christianity is the way of the cross, the path of suffering. And many of these things that we struggle with are not things that just go away when we make a decision to follow Christ. But what Christ does do, what he does drive away immediately through the power of the preached word and through his holy sacraments, is sin and death and the grave. And those are the things that, you know, even American fundamentalists and evangelicals up into the 1940s would preach about that. Would preach at least that type of Jesus to some extent. But this idea that really originated the church growth movement, Donald McGavran's philosophy that the greatest barrier to the gospel is cultural and not theological, and that we would win more people for Christ if we tear down cultural barriers, that what we need to do is identify with the different subcultures in this country and repackage. Bill Hybels talks a lot about that too, about packaging or translating, he likes to say, the gospel into the language of a particular subculture. But the point is that what we need is for us to be translated into God's culture, for him to tell us what our real problems are, and not for our felt needs to be ministered to.
Okay, so this goes hand in hand with the marketing emphasis in the church growth movement. That is, if Jesus is kind of a product to be sold, one that people really need, albeit, but a product to be sold, really the goal of the church growth movement is kind of in crass marketing terms to make the sale. So if you're coming from that kind of Arminian bent where a man makes a decision for Jesus, he becomes the one who turns the key on salvation. Jesus merely offers that you turn the key on salvation by making a decision. It goes hand in hand with that. You're making the sale.
That's right. And the very ability to buy, to choose the product, is what we lack, at least according to Scripture. The ability to decide for Christ. No, the gospel comes to us through preaching, which, you know, St. Paul said is something that is foolishness to the world. The method, he said, I didn't come to you in fancy words or brilliant speech, but simple preaching. And so when the gospel is preached, there is the power of God and the salvation. And this is something that transcends culture. It transcends felt needs.
I want your reaction to this. This is Rick Warren speaking at the World Baptist Congress, and he was talking to a group of international Baptists about what he thinks the movement of church growth is all about and how, in Rick Warren's parlance, God is doing a new thing. Let's listen.
God loves to do new things in a new way. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's happening already, and you can see it now. Do you see it? Do you see what God's doing in the world? God is doing things that are new and exciting and fresh and things he's never done before.
Aaron, is that true? Is God doing things he's never done before in the world?
There's nothing new under the sun, is there? At least according to Solomon. Rick Warren talks about he sees a second reformation, he also calls it a third great awakening in this country. But when he talks about it, he says that the first reformation was about the way people believe, and the second reformation is about the things people do. And that's kind of telling, because what we're talking about here, this new thing, the new thing that came along, the new covenant, that's Christ. He has come. He's the end of all history. He is the Alpha and Omega. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And to think that there's some new third wave or a new manifestation of the Holy Ghost, it's hubristic. It's a reflection, in a way, of a very American character. And then again, there's nothing new to that, too, because even back in the days of Tertullian, on the second and third century, there were folks coming along claiming they were the Paraclete. They were coming along as the promise of the Holy Ghost, and that a new thing was being done. The claim that a new thing is happening is not new, but the reality is that Christ is the fulfillment of all Scripture, and that what we need is really the same old preached word of the gospel.
We're talking with Aaron Wolf tonight. He is associate editor of Chronicles Magazine, a magazine of American culture, about the church growth movement. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best emailers and callers are going to get a copy of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September. It's the audio CD called Listening to Luther. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. And by the way, if you go to our website, issuesetc.org, you're going to find several articles there on the church growth movement posted under the What's New section. The website address again, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to hear again from Pastor Ted Haggard. He says that there's a doctrinal problem in the church growth movement. Stay tuned.
Listen to the words of Martin Luther on the Lord's Prayer.
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father, and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father.
Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is an audio CD and companion booklet called Listening to Luther. This CD contains the full teaching of Luther's Small Catechism. It covers the subjects of the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Confession and Absolution, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about the CD called Listening to Luther, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Listening to Luther, at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. David Scare, chairman of the Department of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, with two good reasons why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
The first one is, I really think the things of this world are not really worth striving after, because it's all going to be taken away. The second thing, which is really the most important thing, is that the preaching of the gospel is its own reward. And there is no other greater satisfaction to know that God has used you in a very significant way. And not that you're all that, not that we are all that important, because a few months, a few years after we pass away, we're forgotten. But just to know that you have acted in this way, and many people in the world to come are going to thank those people through whom the gospel was preached.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You know, Jeff, it kind of surprised me because most of that bump music, they're songs about going to Chicago. We're already here. You know what I mean? We should have been playing that last week when we were on our way to Chicago. Of course, there are not a lot of songs about being in Chicago. Everybody apparently wants to go, but you don't have a lot of songs about staying in Chicago. I like it. I think it's a great town. We're broadcasting live from the first day of our Chicago Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour. St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois, has been kind enough to host this Sunday night program. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It is the, what is it? Golly, it's the 10th of September already. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about church growth with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Folks, there's a place that's preparing future pastors who really do trust the power of God's Word and not simply the invisible hand of the marketplace and marketing gimmicks to make believers, to sustain believers in Jesus Christ. It's Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you've ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many of the best guests you hear on Issues, Etc., Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fekencher, are members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty there at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. To contact them, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Aaron, let's talk a little bit about the marketing bent here. We've talked about how the goal is to kind of make the sale of, on Jesus, and we've talked about how the content of that gospel becomes more Jesus the helper, Jesus the sustainer, Jesus the life coach, Jesus the solver of your many felt needs. What other concerns do you have about the church growth movement beyond those two? Because those two are pretty big already.
Well, they are, and so they sort of dovetail with the, I mentioned this word, American hubris. We have a sense oftentimes in this country, where some people talk about manifest destiny, that we are the be-all and end-all of history. And that same attitude is, it's not new, but every nation, every country that has bought into that mentality has wound up going off of the pages of history. And I think that the idea that God is doing a new thing through this particular type of marketing, focus on individual needs and selling the gospel, is a terribly hubristic sense of who we are as a people and what we are capable of doing as a church, when the fact is that the salvation of souls and the growth of the kingdom of God through the simple, unadorned preaching of gospel, of Christ, what Christ did for us, is what we should be focused on. And the thing about that, as St. Paul said, is that it takes away boasting. Because, you know, and he also says, where's the scholar? Where's the wise one of this age? Because all that the scholar can offer you ultimately is navel-gazing, is examining your own life. But Christ offers the forgiveness of sins and life eternal. And it comes through this means that, again, to the world is foolish, the proclamation of the gospel. And what I see is this tremendous pride that we can somehow add to that, that we can make it better, that the only thing that is standing between the church and many, many more, quote, converts, is a methodology that we devise.
St. Paul says in the first chapter of Romans, there, verse 16, 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Does the church growth movement, through its emphasis and its real kind of its trust in the forces of the market, does it implicitly or explicitly deny that power, the power of the gospel to make believers?
Well, it winds up denying it because another crux, another focus, another if and only if is placed on the table. You know, when church growth movement really got going in the 70s, and evangelical community was being told more and more by its leaders, particularly by those who were being trained at Fuller Theological Seminary in California, that if we really care about reaching the lost, then we will adopt these methods. Now, of course, you know, and folks think about those that they know who don't believe. Well, and then they're told by those who are their shepherds, this is what you need to do. Well, many people fall under the sway of that because out of love and concern for those in their family and their friends. And so, you know, we lay this at the feet of a leadership that has been unfaithful, that has denied that God does the work in salvation.
In saving, also in sustaining faith throughout life, because often we'll hear, yeah, the gospel is for the unbeliever, and we'll preach at the evangelistic rally, and we'll invite people to come and accept Jesus as their personal Savior. But when we're dealing with the faithful during those weekday services, say at Willow Creek, that's where we got to school them in the Christian life. And then the gospel disappears. These people get nothing but rules and principles and law.
Now, how in the world did St. Paul say that I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I mean, obviously he was talking to more than just those outside of the faith and pagans and unbelievers. How is it that St. Paul could find that the gospel, that Christ crucified, was enough? Well, to answer the question out loud, or to ask it out loud, it's almost absurd. Christ isn't enough. The Son of God incarnate suffering on a cross for our sins, the very power of God raised for our justification, and sending us His Holy Ghost so that we might have all of these wonderful benefits. I mean, it's amazing that we could need anything other than that.
We're talking with Aaron Wolf about the Church Growth Movement. Our call-in numbers 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We heard earlier from Ted Haggard, who's president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He is also a pretty, I think it's fair to say, he is a strong advocate of the Church Growth Movement. He's kind of the face of the Church Growth Movement. When we talked with him several months ago, he expressed this concern about doctrine, even in his own large congregation.
Pastor a church of 11 or 12,000 people, and unfortunately, there have probably been 30 people in our visitors' meetings that have asked to see the doctrinal position of our church.
What does that tell you, Pastor Haggard?
It means that people choose their church based on how it feels, not based on what it believes, which means we're incredibly vulnerable.
To what?
Oh, to heresy.
All right, Aaron. There's Ted Haggard saying in his own church, he's only got a handful of people who even inquire about the doctrinal position of that church, and he recognizes that as a danger. How would you add to any concerns he may have?
I would want to ask him, a danger of what?
Because, I mean, he said heresy.
Right, and what is heresy? How does that hurt us? Because what he's talking about really comes from within the self, the decision to follow Christ. And so, you know, the idea that the gospel is the proclamation of God's word and what He did, and that there's a real content to that, that we have to get right, or we're not proclaiming Christ, and then the power of God unto salvation is not there. That doesn't enter into the equation. So in a way, we're talking about a completely different paradigm of what it means to preach the gospel. We're, in a way, we're saying the same thing, that we must take the gospel to the lost so that they might have eternal life. But it's very different what we mean by that word gospel.
We're talking with Aaron Wolf. He's associate editor of Chronicles Magazine and a magazine of American culture about the Church Growth Movement, Tonight on Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Sunday night at September the 10th, day one of our Chicago Issues, etc. Reformation Tour. We're broadcasting live from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Brookfield, Illinois. You can give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We can take your phone calls right here in our makeshift studio at St. Paul's. 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us right here as well. We'll get those emails here, and they'll become part of the conversation on church growth. issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. The best callers and emailers during this hour as we talk about church growth with Aaron Wolf get a copy of our Issues Etc. book of the month for September. It's called Listening to Luther. It's actually a little booklet with an audio CD, and it's narrated by one of our regular guests here on the program, Dr. Ken Sherb. The basic parts of Luther's small catechism with some Luther hymns thrown in for devotional content. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
The divorce rate among Christians is virtually identical with that of non-Christians. The majority of Christian as well as non-Christian singles indulge in sex outside of marriage. Many Christians, including pastors, are addicted to pornography. Living together and homosexuality are now socially acceptable. How can the Christian sexual ethic be recovered? How can the church move beyond merely denouncing sin to bring to bear the gospel of Christ on these issues? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to attend a Christian Vision for Love and Marriage Conference, September the 18th through the 20th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Theological Seminary, 260-452-2204. A Christian Vision for Love and Marriage Conference, September the 18th through the 20th, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2204.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths to the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Kind of town Chicago is. My kind of town Chicago is.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss sentimental Christianity. Mark Galley of Christianity Today magazine will be our guest. Why does much of American Christianity teach a meek and mild Jesus? What about the Jesus who overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple? Or the Jesus who told his own Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." We'll talk about it next week with Mark Galley. Now, if you'd like to know what we're discussing for the weeks ahead on Issues, Etc., visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at our homepage, be sure to check out our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September called Listening to Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. It's an audio CD. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. The audio CD is called Listening to Luther. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September. We got a question from one of our live audience members here at St. Paul Brookfield. What's your name and what's your question?
My name's Pastor. I'm from Brookfield, Illinois.
And what's your question, Pastor Ball?
When you market something, you want to talk about the good things about your product. And I'm sure that's the case with the church growth movement. The problem is the church has to talk about sin. How do they market that? Do they deal with sin at all?
That's interesting, because when you are marketing, of course, you know, you first have to at least create that sense of need that somebody has. You know, are you tired of going night after night without rest? You know, and then a plug for a bed where you can inflate one side or the other to your wife's comfort level, something like that. You create the need first, or at least the perception of it. The problem is that in the way the church growth movement goes about creating that sense of need is not by preaching the law as Scripture gives it, but rather appealing to things that unbelievers already feel that they have as problems. This is something from the folks at Fuller Theological Seminary that they wrote up in sort of a foundational document for the church growth movement, in talking about Donald McGavran's homogeneous unit principle. They say, therefore, in order to reach them, not only should the evangelist be able to identify with them, and they with the evangelist, not only must the gospel be contextualized in such a way that it communicates with them, but the church into which they are invited must itself belong to their culture sufficiently for them to feel at home in it. It is when these conditions are fulfilled that men and women are one to Jesus Christ, and subsequently that churches grow. So, you know, we have to ask the question of that, the sort of prophetic question, how in the world does a church that confesses that we are by nature poor, miserable sinners ever fit into any culture or subculture in a world that hates the Lord Jesus Christ.
I want to come back to that in a minute about the willing marriage with culture that the church growth movement has been attempting for the last 30 years. But first, let's go to Texas, where Jeff is on the line. Jeff, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. Aaron, thanks for taking my call. In a movement that depends so much on marketing, you hope everyone is watching. The only problem is everyone who watches gets old, and then the next generation comes along and finds you kitschy and outdated. I just was wondering if Mr. Wolf could comment on the movement being its own worst enemy, and is the emergent church sort of the street cred next generation of this same thing?
That's a very good question. Aaron, what do you make of Jeff's question?
I think that for the last part, Jeff, that the emergent church, and also according to George Barna, you know, the great evangelical number cruncher, who is really a promoter of church growth himself, he also sees the home church movement as some kind of as the next generation, or the street cred, as you put it. So that he even estimates that there's some 30,000 evangelicals in the United States today who are part of these home churches. But it is its own worst enemy. It even is within its own generation, because when you think about these methods, I mentioned this homogeneous unit principle that McGavran identified. What he's saying is that you go into a particular community and identify sort of the standard individual. What are his likes? What are his dislikes? What speaks to him, and what does he find to be effective? Bill Hybels did this when he canvassed the Palatine in Barrington and asked people why they didn't go to church. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you select one group or one model of an individual to make up your homogeneous unit, well, automatically then you reject other parts and other groups. And I just have to think that somebody who's trained in classical music, for example, and goes in and hears, you know, a song that sounds like Michael Bolton coming out of a church, is going to find this to be instantly, to not have any credibility in his eyes, and therefore he is going to associate that with the gospel message, or whatever they're calling the gospel message, and be turned off to it. So it doesn't even have to wait for the next generation. Within our own time, what is called contemporary really is one particular style that quite often is just tailored toward baby boomers, toward suburbanites.
There was a Wall Street Journal piece by Suzanne Sadeline, A Popular Strategy for Church Growth Splits Congregants. It came out this last week, talking yes. about some of the darker sides of 40 Days of Purpose, Rick Warren's purpose-driven life, church growth strategy for congregations, and how many of the congregations within his own denomination, Southern Baptist Convention, have been split over kind of the heavy-handed tactics taken by the pastors who introduced this strategy to their churches. What was your reaction?
It's fascinating that if you follow the logic behind the church growth movement, you know, that obviously we would agree that lost people matter to God. But if we buy into the principle that, you know, we have to adjust our culture and our approach to, in order to win them, that we're literally sending people on the path, the broad path to destruction, if we refuse to adopt these strategies, these methodologies, then we can reason our way into a very rigid, very authoritarian position that says, if you're a traditionalist in my congregation and you don't want to use these methodologies, well, then we should throw you out the door, which that article talks about people being kicked out of elder boards, being thrown out of the church, because, you know, literally they're standing in the way of people coming to heaven and sending them down the path to hell. And that's a tremendous problem. And my reaction to that it again goes back to this hubris, this sense that we are something unique that no other generation has ever come up with or done before.
Here's the mailing address and phone number to receive a complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal or to join our monthly donor program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The phone number, 1-800-737-0172. Here's the address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Look, the church growth movement in the last 30 years is nothing new. I know they think it's something new, but it really isn't. Before that, there were the new methods of the Methodists. There was the various methods of Charles Finney and his various revivals. All of them have something in common, however. All of them seek to improve upon God's strategy for growing his church. You know, they're one thing that even the advocates of church growth have recognized. They say, whatever you use to bring them in, you're going to have to use to keep them. That's kind of the Achilles heel of the church growth movement. They bring them in with Jesus-size and great music and relevant teaching about Christian finances and marriage. And, of course, they have to use that to keep them, too. And they never really get around, or very seldom get around, to the whole point of Christianity, which is Christ crucified for sinners. There is a reason Paul said, I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Paul knew how God both gives birth to and builds and grows his church. And he knew Christ's promise, the gates of hell and the culture and bad marketing will not prevail against it. Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. What? The latest method? The latest book? The latest strategy? No. Jesus Christ, crucified for sinners, raised from the dead, the Savior of the world, preached Sunday in, Sunday out, to every sinner at every opportunity. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listening to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Noted author and English professor Dr. Gene Edward Veith on why he joined the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
In my spiritual journey, I've been a mainline Protestant liberal. I flirted with Eastern mysticism, and I've been involved with American evangelicalism. But it was through the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod that I discovered what the grace of God really means, what Jesus really accomplished for me on the cross, and how in his word and sacraments, Jesus really comes into my life. A lot of people are looking for the right church, one that has a theological substance and a depth that sometimes hard to find in American Christianity. Some of them are looking in all different kinds of directions, and they're really looking for is Lutheranism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? 1-800-737-0172.